Hello, this is George Waring, and the column I'm about to read appears in the December 12th, 2018 edition of the Butte Weekly. I ask a question as the title of this. Is this the last days of our national disgrace? Last week, this column concluded with a challenge written in May by a recently retired Army officer, a veteran of lengthy combat service in Iraq and Afghanistan, Major Danny Searson. He ended this way: "When the war drums start beating again, and they will, let us remember the tragic record of the last three failed regime changes perpetrated by Washington and think long and hard before sleepwalking into the next catastrophe." That was a challenge to Americans to become responsible enough to exercise their democratic political power in an attempt to avoid the next Middle Eastern military catastrophe. Since then, I've been witnessing the ground being prepared for the next act in that horror show. National Security Advisor John Bolton was peddling the embarrassing notion that United States policymakers should ignore a Saudi autocrat's murder of Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi. Then, a Koch brothers hireling, Mike Pompeo, who used to be the representative from Koch in the House of Representatives, now elevated to Trump's Secretary of State, provided a closed-door briefing for the Senate. The obliging Pompeo endorsed Trump's love of all things Saudi, including our government-supported mass genocide in Yemen. Pompeo never mentioned Khashoggi's murder. Because a CIA investigation concluded the current Saudi ruler had ordered Khashoggi's murder, our premier intelligence agency was not permitted to brief the Senate on its findings. Our disgraced Senate was treated as a servile prop for the age of Trump. Further, Senate Majority Leader of the Republicans, Mitch McConnell, once more refused to allow a vote on the bipartisan bill to protect the Mueller investigation, a bill to prevent Trump's newly appointed acting attorney general from terminating the Justice Department's investigation into the 2016 Russian conspiracy to elect Putin's poodle. Then came news that Trump was again publicly dangling his offer of a full pardon before now convicted fraudster Paul Manafort, a presidential bribe proffered in payment for Manafort's refusal to provide the Mueller investigation information about the Trump campaign's dependence on Putin's cyber warfare. At what point will Trump's raging narcissism and deceit stimulate incumbent Republicans to behave as responsible citizens of our republic? Are these toadies so dependent on billionaire campaign funding that they must publicly lie each time they swear their oath to defend the Constitution? I found consolation in rereading H.R. Trevor Roper's 1947 academic study, The Last Days of Hitler. I recommend it to you for the similarities you'll easily spot. Similarities between the psychoses of Berlin's Führerbunker and our White House. In the spring of 1945, surrounded by Nazi Party sycophants, Hitler entertained his dwindling group of loyalists by moving imaginary Army Corps placards around a large map of Germany. Not one officer had the temerity to inform the insane Führer, to whom an oath of personal loyalty had been sworn, that all those groups were fictional, having been destroyed by advancing Soviet armies. I've also seen Trump ignore the huge report based on the research of over 300 administration scientists from a dozen agencies concerning the absolute necessity to adopt measures to deal with global climate change. I've seen Trump actually claim that his intelligence is greater than that of all our nation's scientific experts. This issue caused Noam Chomsky in 2016 to label the Republican Party as the most dangerous political organization in world history. Certainly, Hitler's Nazi Party was the most dangerous political organization in 20th century European history. Today's Republicans daily provide evidence supporting Chomsky's tragically correct assessment of their historically suicidal role. In late November, the Washington Post reported the Republican Führer's asinine directions to his base on how to regard the latest findings of climate science. And I quote from the article, "President Trump said that when it comes to the devastating effects of climate change, I don't believe it." Regarding that 1,700-page report's discussion of climate change impacts on the U.S. economy, Trump said, and I quote him, "A lot of people like myself, we have very high levels of intelligence, but we're not necessarily such believers," unquote. In search of sanity, the Washington Post called Andrew Dressler, a professor of atmospheric sciences at Texas A&M, who struggled to find a response to Trump's comments. Finally, Dressler asked, "How can one possibly respond to this?" Dressler called Trump's comments idiotic, concluding that, and I quote him, "Trump's main motivation seemed to be attacking the environmental policies of the Obama administration and criticizing political adversaries," unquote. This is George Waring, and I thank you for listening.